Hi, I'm Susan Lewis. I sat down with conductor Stefan Denev when he was in the city to conduct the Philadelphia Orchestra in a concert featuring Beethoven's Violin Concerto and Shostakovich's 10th Symphony. You've talked about the relationship between these two composers. Why do they fit together so well?
Well, I think that both Beethoven and Shostakovich are able to build incredible musical construction, really cathedrals, with very small elements. And they are master, both of them, in doing big form, to really organize the music in strong, long movements. So somehow I even feel that if you take a score of a Beethoven symphony and you just turn the score upside down, you get something very similar to Shostakovich music. There is this kind of connection. They, even visually, the score look a little bit the same. And well, to compete with the huge form, the huge construction of the 10th symphony, I think only Beethoven could compete.
And they both make these powerful statements with seemingly simple lines.
That's exactly the case, indeed, that I'm always surprised how they can say, how much they can say with such a very minimal amount of notes. I mean, if you think of the 10th symphony that we're about to perform, it starts with just six notes, no harmony, and it's so pure, and right away the soul of Shostakovich is there. You have a presence, and it is quite miraculous. And the same thing with Beethoven. You know, the concerto started, as you heard, with just four notes, pom, 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 and just those four notes repeated will be actually used in the whole first movement.
I'd like to talk about the Shostakovich, because although it's been called one of his purely musical symphonies, it's very personal and political, isn't it?
Extremely. Well, it's a testimony of the time, I have to say. You really feel the fear that existed in the Sovietic time under Stalin, and that is just there all the time. And also, there are some very personal statements. For instance, the name of Shostakovich is repeated many times from the third movement, you know, this DSCH, so which is in music, if you use the German way to call the notes, makes D, E flat, C, B natural, Re, Mi, Do, Si. And he will repeat that more than 50 times. And he will actually interact his own name with another name, which is Elmira Nazirova, a student of him when he wrote this symphony. And he was secretly in love with her, and he decided to put her name, which will be in this case E-A-E-D-A, so Mila Mirella. And you will hear the melody at the horn that is really her name. And when he makes the horn play this wonderful Elmira melody, the symphony seems to start again, and actually in a different way, like if the world was ruled by love, and suddenly instead of fear, you have suddenly the symphony starts with the same DNA, but goes in another direction, and it is a very, very, very moving moment.
So the symphony starts perhaps reflecting the political circumstances, because Stalin had just died.
The first movement, it's really a great expression of despair, and it's very vocal. You have the feeling that it's like a chorus singing lines, and it's a huge crescendo and decrescendo, which lasts 10 minutes for the crescendo and 10 minutes for the decrescendo. It's actually fascinating the way it is written. That's the first movement. Then the second movement is the most furious and angry and terrifying music ever written, I think. It's only 4 minutes, but it's describing, depicting Stalin, most likely. And this is so virtuosic, so fast, and so aggressive. It's really devilish. I mean, it's a demonish music. And then the third movement is when Shostakovich makes a statement about, indeed, himself and his love for Elmira. And the last movement is a kind of grotesque dance where he mixes a lot of feelings, and it ends in a fourth joy, I think, a kind of terrible smile that is, you know, the smile you're obliged to have, otherwise you would be sent to the gulag.
How much does the history inform your approach to this kind of work?
It's fascinating with Shostakovich because I think we are too close from this time. And so the fact is you cannot really perform this music without, I think, just reflecting on the real political context. That said, what is fascinating to me is that there will be a time, it will come slowly, where this music will lose a little bit its real political context and be admired only for its musical qualities. And it is so strong that, indeed, if you don't know anything about why it has been written and what are the hidden messages there, I think you could still enjoy the music wonderfully.
How secret were these secret codes that we're talking about?
Well, the code about Elmira Nazirova, about the love story, so the love story code was definitely secret until the 90s. Nobody knew that because she only revealed it herself when she was older and when Shostakovich was dead since already more than 15 years. The other code, which is the Stalin statement, I would say this one was clear from the start. You know, luckily for Shostakovich, when the symphony was premiered, Stalin was dead, so he didn't risk his life anymore with that. But and the other one, his own name, this one actually was well known from the start. You know, it was clear this obsessional DSCH melody was not a hidden message. People knew about it.
So the DSCH and the code for the woman he loved were musical codes. And what was the Stalin?
Well, the second movement of the symphony is actually a description of Stalin himself. You know, it's really it's actually, of course, a critique because it depicts actually horror and a terrifying monster. And this description is very clear. Everybody that heard this symphony from 54, from the premiere, would actually 53, 54, would understand that this was indeed a description of Stalin.
Well, it's an amazing work because it has such variety in the tone and the pacing.
The challenge for this symphony is the tension. You know, it's just to build the climaxes, to just really have a sense of construction when you are conducting the piece. But I have to say, indeed, what is fascinating with Shostakovich is that he writes just melodies that are so powerful that permanently you follow the red thread of the melody, and it's really the melodic aspect that impressed me the most in this symphony. It's a big choral symphony. It could be almost sung the whole time by chorus.
That's so interesting. Are you a singer?
I wish I would be a singer. I sing a lot, and my brain sings all the time. That's why at home, for instance, I never listen to music. I don't even have a hi-fi system at home because my head permanently sings, you know. So when I enter a taxi, for instance, there is music, I have to stop the music, and I have problems in restaurants. You know, I often say, please, can you just turn down the music? Because because my brain is singing all the time.
Well, thank you so much for talking to us.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.